Well, our second scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 96. Listen again for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all of the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless God's name, tell of God's salvation from day to day. Declare the glory of God among the nations, God's marvelous works among all of the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before God. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into God's courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all of the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is King. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. God will judge the people with equity. So let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all of the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For God is coming. For God is coming to judge the earth. God will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we hear your word proclaimed, may it be for us truly good news. A gospel not of human origin, but a revelation given through Jesus Christ made alive to us through your Holy Spirit. Amen. The summer camp that I attended with my friends in middle school was called Camp Honey Creek. It is in Waverly, Georgia, near Jekyll Island. I don't know if some of you are familiar with that area. Most summers at Honey Creek, we did the usual camp activities, canoeing, arts and crafts, weaving those lanyards, those timeless and beautyless camp obsessions. There's a great poem by Billy Collins all about lanyards. I recommend it to you. In front of bales of hay with paper targets stuck to them, we used to fire arrows right at the ground. We never once hit a target. And at camp, we became aware of girls who were not from our town. One summer, our parents were late getting us registered. The only week remaining was choir week. Now, I am not disparaging choir week. I sang in the choir as a youth, but we had become accustomed to a week of trampling through the muddy marshes and playing with reptiles at the nature center and lanyards. Choir week meant long sessions indoor, singing for hours. The choir director was a sizable man who spoke almost entirely in puns. And he was singularly focused on getting us boys to sing as high as inhumanly possible in front of the girls. Third Eye Blind, Pearl Jam, we could do that. But the Vienna Boys Choir, not at Camp Honey Creek. The director would wave his hands beseeching us, sing, sing, come on, boys, sing. And then he himself would soar into the upper register, while the rest of us remained solidly on ground in a fit of giggles. My hat's off to the director of choirs with middle school boys in them. The author of our psalm this morning has a mission to get the people of God to sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing with the whole community, all of creation. Sing a new song about God. Have you ever written a brand new song? Just looking around the room, I actually do spot several folks who have written their own music. Not all of them are up here in the chancel. There are songwriters in the pews, actually. Songwriters and singers are important in the kingdom of God. They are certainly important in this church. We could not worship the way we do without you. They help us to sing to the Lord. They are our worship leaders. In Psalm 96, we are told three times to join the choir of creation and sing to the Lord. We are told to tell of God's salvation and declare God's glory. Words. Words are important in our relationship with God. Words don't do it, but words are often all that we have. The author of this psalm is in some disagreement with that aphorism: preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. The psalmist commands all of creation, for the love of God, use your words. Speak. Sing about God. Tell of God's salvation. People can't read our minds, y'all. Even the Kiwanis Club members help out in the food pantry. They volunteer at Habitat Builds. Christians need to preach the gospel with our words and with our deeds. So how often do you talk about God outside of a church setting? I join the psalmist here and invite you to talk more about God and to God. Start with your family. Start with those right around you. Start with prayer. You don't have to be creepy about it. Be authentic. Be yourselves. Be honest. But be open to God. Be open to where you see God. What amazed you about God today? Where do you wish that you felt God's presence? Did you encounter someone who needed to hear about grace? Share that with some people that you care about. Write it in a journal at least, and start to notice what you notice about God. In the 13 verses of this psalm, there are 13 commands to all of creation, all that God has made, to sing, to tell, declare, ascribe glory, bring offerings, come, worship, tremble before God, say, the Lord is King. And the last five commands are to the non-human of creation. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and everything that is in it. Let the fields exult and the trees sing for joy. Well, humans often act as if it's our right to utterly consume all of the earth for our own pleasure and economic growth. In fact, the command is to include the natural world in our choir of praise. 13 commands for us in 13 verses. And what does God do in Psalm 96? Three things. Create, come to the earth, and judge the earth. God has three actions to our 13, but they are the three actions that give rise to and value to our very existence. God has created all that is and all that ever will be. God has come to the earth in Jesus to heal the wounds of sin inflicted on what God has made. And in Christ, God will judge all of the earth. This is important. With equity. In the psalm, God does three things: create, redeem, and judge. And that is the source of all of our life, all of our gifts, all of our future hopes. Those three things, and all that we are commanded to do. Sing about it. Talk about it. Declare with the rest of creation that God is king. You see, God's doing the heavy lifting here. It's a grand image. It's an image of hope and of promise. So how close to reality is this picture? I mean, really, how close to your actual life does Psalm 96 sound? Does thinking about God when you're driving around, when you're sitting at the dinner table, does thinking about God ever make you want to heed the commands and sing and preach about God? If we're honest. I'm not sure that everyone who was in the first audience of this psalm felt like singing all the time, or they even knew where to start talking about God. The psalmists, they were poets. They gave language to the Hebrew people at different times in their history to help them figure out what in the world was happening to them. Because it's hard to describe what we're feeling in really intense times, isn't it? It's hard to find words to even put on those emotions. If you're walking the journey of death with a loved one, if you're going through a breakup, if you've lost your job, honestly, sometimes it's hard to even know what we feel in the moment. It's hard to feel like singing to God. Maybe life is just too busy to think about this God stuff all of the time. It's not realistic, some people say. But I think that's pretty close to how it was for the community that produced Psalm 96. See, it was written sometime after the Hebrew people, they were released from this traumatic captivity to the Babylonians, and they were finally allowed to go home and start to rebuild their lives. They had witnessed a lot of death and humiliation. I mean, they sat by and watched as their whole proud nation completely crumbled before them. It was really bad. If you've noticed in the news when they report on the refugees, their faces, you notice their faces? For the Hebrew people, a lot of them weren't really feeling this whole God thing all of the time. In fact, most of them had really stopped feeling it any of the time. What do you do when your hope has failed? When your world has been totally turned over, when everything that you were planning for just goes out the window, and all the things that you relied on are suddenly not there to support you, and you just don't know if you have the energy, where do you even start? Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan turned 75 this week. the freewheeling original. With his songs and the way that he sang them, with a voice that no one ever once described as angelic, the way that he played his guitar and screamed into a harmonica, he was divisive and he was inspiring. He's still alive. He's just made all of his good music already. His music mattered. The way he arranged words and played the guitar, it could provoke people to laugh, to boo, to cry, to march, to vote, or to simply stare out their windows all day. Poets. Dylan could elicit emotion, stir up the soul and the imagination. He could give the muck some meaning, as it were. Sometimes we need to be stirred up, shaken out of complacency, or snapped out of the cycle of busyness, released from the anxious fretting and stewing and blaming, to notice what we are truly feeling, and then really feel it. We have to feel it before we can really start to move forward. And often that means coming to a tough realization that we don't really have control of very much in life. But God is powerful, says the psalmist. God is the powerful, active force, and that force is love, so we can breathe. Bob sang new songs, and his songs ascribe meaning in new ways to the world, a world that was a changin'. Shakespeare called it a brave new world 500 years ago. Dylan and the Bard, they both had calls to organize words and to ascribe meaning to tempestuous times. And here's the thing, y'all. Times are always a changing. Life is never static. It's never just as it should be. We are always in this mix of sometimes things going like we like it, while other things just fall apart. Yeats noticed this. He thought the center couldn't hold. And I don't agree, but it does certainly feel that way a lot of the times. But God is the center. It'll hold. But even with Jesus in the bow of the boat, the storm, it does still rock us. And so it is with the psalmists, great poets of the Bible. Times, they were always a-changing. The writers of the Psalms, they are all over the map. Sometimes they are being attacked and humiliated by enemies, drowned by waves, abandoned by God. And then at other times they are being led like gentle deer to calm waters, or safely guarded in a mighty fortress. Psalmists wrote in the midst of joy and sorrow. And then they give us words to use in our relationship with God in the midst of all of those times. So like the psalmist, Dylan's words helped ascribe meaning. Ellen informed me that Bob Dylan is the most quoted songwriter in American legal writing. Did you know that? I didn't know that. The Beatles are up there, but Dylan is far ahead. We are at a time when folks are struggling to describe what's going on in the world. People are scratching their heads in these absurd elections, these hurtful debates about gender and sexuality, the epidemic of assaults on college campuses, violence in homes and on the streets, and this relentless refugee crisis. What's happening? Where is this all going? Can the center hold? It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred. That's Bob. I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. That's Psalm 88. Oh, sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. But how? Why? Where do we even start? Well, Christians, we start with the Psalms. That's where we've always started in times of desperation, in times of great joy, to find help noticing and naming the emotions, and in times of desperation to find words to notice and name the emotions. We go to the Psalms again and again and again, and we get to as long as we need to find our voice, to find our hope. As a community, as a church, I think that we need to get together and spend some time with the old songs and then start to work on some new ones. I'm tired of the played out songs that we hear all the time, the played out songs of racism, of inequality, of fear, of violence, these dirges of sin. I'm tired of them. We need to have a songwriter's workshop right here in the church. We need to test out how words of praise sound on our lips, words of hope in these uncertain times. We need to hear how it sounds to add some other voices who sing and worship and maybe even believe differently than ourselves. We need to invite them to the chorus of love, even though the nation out there looks like the breakup of our favorite band, or better, or worse still, the sellout of our favorite band. We, the community of Christians gathered here, we are the new song. We need all of the voices. See, Psalm 96, it's a great place to start singing about the reality of God's marvelous works among all of the peoples, in spite of the reality of sin in our lives. Honor and majesty, strength and beauty are in God's sanctuary, in spite of changes in the church and declining membership. The Lord is clothed in holy splendor and is so powerful that the earth trembles before God, in spite of political demagogues who act as if they are in charge. They are idols of the people, but our God made the heavens. Even as the oceans are polluted by our greed, they roar before God. Even as the fields become dry because of climate change and the forests are leveled to feed our consumerism, they still exalt God and sing for joy. And we join them in spite of it all because we know the truth. The Lord is coming. Christ is coming to judge the earth, and that judgment is righteousness, and it is truth. When Jesus and his followers marched into Jerusalem, they sang praises to God. Blessed is the King, peace in heaven, glory to God in the highest. And then there were those who said, make them shut up. Make this nonsense stop. But Jesus, he said to them, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. And this is the call of the church. This is the call of Morningside. It's not time to be silent about our faith in God. God loves and needs us to proclaim God's love in the chaos of our day. The message is gladness, not dread. Rejoicing, not despair. The power of God's truth, not submission to cynicism. It's not a cold grave and a godless creation, but the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. a restored creation. So there are songwriters in the pews, and poets, and people who long to speak about God, and there are people who long to hear about God. So I think it would be fun to workshop some new songs, and to worship with all of creation, sing to God a new song, sing all of the earth, for God is greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty, strength and beauty, they are God's. With the trees and the fields and the sea and the heavens, let us sing for joy, rejoice, exalt, roar. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.